Specific Conversations from the Development Policy Centre with Tess Newton-Kane.
My name is Tess Newton-Kane. I'm a research associate with the Development Policy Centre, and this afternoon I am at the Development Policy Centre in Canberra, but I'm going to be talking with Dr. Colin Tukuitonga, who is in New Caledonia at SPC. So good afternoon, Colin, and welcome to Pacific Conversations.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you very much.
Thank you very much for making some time to talk with us. And as an introduction and as a bit of an icebreaker, I was hoping that you could possibly tell us something about yourself and your story so far in relation to development in the Pacific.
Yes, again, thank you very much for the opportunity. I was born in Niue and then educated at obviously Niue until the University of the South Pacific and the Fiji School of Medicine. So for the first 15 years, I was in clinical practice and then into public health in New Zealand mainly, but I've worked around the Pacific. And then I did a short time with the World Health Organization in Geneva, returned to New Zealand where I was chief executive of the Ministry of Pacific Island Affairs based in Wellington. But I've always had an interest and had done a number of consultancies in the region, primarily in public health, diabetes and heart disease, workforce, type issues. And then I joined SPC in December of 2012, where I was the director for the Division of Public Health. And then in November last year, I was selected as the Director General. So in a very brief way, that's part of the history of myself.
That's great. Thank you very much for that. And congratulations on your appointment as Director General for SPC. And I understand we should congratulate SPC on achieving its 67th birthday as well.
Yes, we were 67 last week. Obviously, SPC is a lot older than I am. So it's been around the region doing good work for quite a long time. It was, in fact, initially set up the first 2 years of its life. The office was in Sydney until it was relocated. The headquarters was relocated here to Noumea in 1949.
So, yes, as you say, it has a very well-established and venerable history. So, bearing in mind, as we said, you have recently been appointed as the Director General, what can you tell us about your vision for the organisation?
Well, firstly, it's an organisation that's in good spirit, in good heart, so it's not about trying to change anything dramatically. There was an independent review of the organisation last year. I was a member of that review group, and a number of changes had already been implemented. So for me, it's about moving the organisation that's already good to something even better, to have more impact in the countries that we serve, to try and secure sustainable, more predictable funding for our programs. SBC is handicapped in many ways because the bulk of its finances are project-based. By that I mean the money comes for a specific project for a short period of time, and when the money ends, the project stops. And it's very difficult for SPC, and indeed probably other organizations in similar situation, to have better long-term planning to secure and retain good staff and all of those sorts of things. So I'm really wanting, if you like, to try and consolidate, to try and move SPC away from, you know, the fisheries, agriculture, public health type silos into more of a total integrated development approach, and to secure longer term predictable funding for the organization and to improve the quality of our work. So it's really those sorts of things rather than a fundamental change of direction.
So you mentioned in the course of what you've just told me, you mentioned about wanting to have a bigger or a better impact And my next question is really an attempt to sort of drill down into that, which is that, you know, I often hear a lot of criticism that regional organisations are not contributing to the lives and the livelihoods of the majority of Pacific Islanders. So bearing in mind what you've already said about impact, how do you plan to change that perception whilst you're leading SPC?
Yeah, I don't think it's a fair criticism on the part of SPC, firstly, because, you know, the team here, before my time, have been working with communities to try and improve the yield from coastal fisheries to encourage conservation and so on, given the importance of coastal fisheries for food security and livelihood of people. The fish aggregating devices have been widely deployed and have improved catches, we understand, in around the Pacific. So just in the fisheries area alone, there's been good impact, and that's been something that's pretty well known in amongst a whole lot of areas that SPC works. But how do I improve impact? I mentioned briefly one of our issues is we're in some 20-odd sectors, and by and large, they tend to work within those sectors, and there's not enough, I don't think, working across the sectors together in terms of responding to the development needs of the member states. By that I mean fisheries. They do try harder to work across other sectors, but they tend to operate pretty much within the fisheries sector, same with agriculture, same with public health, transport, and so on. And when we know, of course, that these things are so interdependent, public health, my background and area of expertise, you can't really hope to improve the health of the population by just working within the health sector. The food supply chain, agricultural policies, education, fisheries, all of those things have a big impact on public health. And that's what I mean by looking to improve the impact of our work. And the second element to this is really looking to step up the quality of our scientific outputs. SPC, some of the programs are conducting world-class scientific and technical work, but we do need to strengthen those and to really look more globally rather than the focus that we have had in the past of working within the region. So those are the sorts of things I'm looking to progress. I've also made mention of the fact that we are slipping in terms of our competitiveness in attracting the best scientists. Our terms and conditions are not as good as some of our crop agencies and other organizations, so that's an important area for us. How do we recruit and retain the best talent that we can get?
Well, as you say, they're all very key issues and big issues for an organization such as yours. If we were to have this conversation at the end of your tenure as DG, what would you personally like to be able to point to as key achievements during that time under your leadership?
I'd like to be able to have worked with the team and other organizations and countries on trying to have a decline in the prevalence of heart disease, diabetes, obesity, those sort of non-communicable conditions, which is clearly a major issue in the region, both in terms of individual well-being, but also in terms of the drain, if you like, on the economic development potential of small islands. I'd like to be able to have said that we have moved most, if not all, of the small islands to renewable energy, and the great majority will be using renewable clean energy, mainly solar, and less reliance on fossil fuel. I mean, whilst education is not within our immediate brief, I am concerned about 7 out of 10 children in school not learning the basic literacy and numeracy skills. I like to be able to have worked with others more directly involved in countries, of course, to try and change this situation. You know, I'd like to be able to say that we have used our scientific and technical advice from fisheries to try and help countries to better manage the tuna fisheries, to get more value for the tuna that is being caught. those are the kinds of things that I would like to see looking outwards. And clearly looking inwards, I'd like to be able to say that we've moved SBC away from less focus on project funding and more predictable funding. I'd like to be able to have said that we've had a policy of attracting, we've been successful in attracting world-class scientists and technical people to SBC.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's great, thank you. So moving away from the regional view, I'd like to go back to where it all started, which is, as you told us, on Niue. Now, Niue, as we know, is a very small country with a very small economy. What do you think are the most realistic opportunities for growth in your country in the next few years?
It's a little awkward in the sense that I'm really not supposed to be commenting on any one country, but given that you've asked, I think there is a real issue about what is a realistic level of development that Niue can and should expect to have. I think the fact that we have this policy or there is a plan to move on economic development, tourism and fisheries and so on, perhaps is a little ambitious and perhaps potentially damaging for the environment. So I think there's a fundamental policy question about what is a realistic, sustainable and appropriate level of development in Niue. I think the reality is for many of the small islands in the region, you can't possibly expect to have them in the sort of development arena that, say, the bigger islands are expecting to have. So I would, if I was having a conversation with the leadership, that would be the kind of thing that I would be talking with them about, and then as a result of that, think about what type of assistance might be needed. Mm-hmm. I just think that this expectation of an all-out development agenda for a small, fairly fragile coral atoll, essentially, is perhaps a little ambitious.
Okay, thank you. So to go back to the issue of regional organisations, and I apologise in advance if this question is a little contentious, but how, if at all, from your perspective, can the existence of two peak bodies in the region be justified?
When you say peak bodies, I assume you mean one is us and the other is the Pacific Island Forum.
It is, yeah, the Pacific Island Forum Secretariat. How do you see, what's the rationale for having both of those organisations operating? Obviously, I'm sure you work very closely together, but essentially they're two separate organisations.
That is correct. They're two separate organisations and we do work closely together. I mean, the fundamental reason is that the Pacific Island Forum and the Secretariat is essentially about politics and policy, and we are a technical scientific organisation. We do quite a lot of the implementation and the accountability reports in the various sectors. The Forum Secretariat facilitates high-level political discussion amongst our leaders, which leads to the production of things like the Pacific Plan. We have an input into the Pacific Plan, but we are more involved in the implementation of those expectations in areas that fit our expertise and capability. So I don't think that's where the issue is, in the sense that our mandates and briefs are quite different. There is I thought you were going to ask us around some of the more technical organisations, because in a sense the division between Pacific Island Forum Secretariat and SBC is pretty clear, with the exception of a few areas where perhaps the responsibilities are not so straightforward.
But do I take it that you think that that demarcation is possibly not as clear in other areas, for example between the fisheries component of SPC and FFA, for example?
Yeah, I would. That might be an area where people might have some concerns about duplication and whatnot, but fortunately for us, we, over the years, or at least before my time, they've worked out pretty clearly who does what. There is, of course, there are a number of other agencies involved in the fisheries space. For us, we've tended to have remained pretty much to the things that we know best, and that is the scientific, biological, technical assessment of the tuna stock, and then we provide the advice on the health or otherwise of the stock to FFA and to others involved in the fisheries space. So the area for misunderstanding of boundaries is more in that space rather than between SBC and PIF. Mm-hmm. Climate change, of course, is another area where there's a lot of agencies, where there are a lot of agencies involved, and sometimes the boundaries between agencies can get a bit blurred in terms of who does what, including the boundaries between the Forum Secretariat and SBC. But my understanding is that folk have worked on these things together for a number of years, so I don't think that the perceived problems are as big as it might be presented.
Okay. So do you think, as you say, within the agencies and within the intra-agency work that you do, you're all quite clear. Do you think that there is possibly more work to be done in communicating that message to Pacific Island governments and Pacific Island members of Pacific Island communities?
Oh, without a doubt, and it's something that I've said. I mean, I can't speak for the other agencies, but just within SBC, they do some fantastic work. There's a lot of good work going on, but not everybody know what that work is. And potentially, again, in terms of responsibilities and boundaries, I wouldn't be surprised if people are not all that clear about who does what. So for our part, it is one area where we need to make very clear about what it is that we do and what it is that we don't do, and more importantly, because of the fact that we're largely dependent on the generosity of people in Australia, New Zealand, France, USA, European Unions, you know, countries beyond the Pacific, we do need to be much clearer in terms of what we've done with the money, the results we have achieved, and again, around some of those boundary issues that we've discussed before.
Okay, that's great. Colin, thank you so much for making some time this afternoon to talk with me. It's been really fascinating to get a much deeper insight into the work of your organisation, and we're looking forward to seeing what transpires over the next few years while you are at the helm of that particular ship.
Okay, thanks very much.
You have been listening to a podcast from the Development Policy Centre. For more information on our work, visit our website at devpolicy.anu.edu.au. To join the conversation on Australian aid, Papua New Guinea and the Pacific, and global development policy, visit our blog at devpolicy.org. At the blog, you can also sign up to our newsletter for all the latest updates or connect with us on social media. Thanks for listening.